Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo.
To the near post, Messi to the net.
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Albert Elise, La Punta Rica. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, it was a big day in the world of soccer. La Liga, Premier League, the NWSL Dash in action today at the NWSL Challenge Cup in Utah. We're going to address it tonight on Soccer Matters. Hope all you are well. We're going to start this one off with a huge gratitude to all of those, again, working on the front lines. These are scary times here in Houston. I'm reminded how fortunate I am. All those other people that are going and putting themselves in really difficult situations for us in hospitals, nurses, doctors, you name it. So let's not forget that. Call-in number tonight throughout the show, 713-780-3776. We always stream on the Internet Highway at ESPN975.com. Part two of a three-part series tonight on Nigerian football with Adafe Mathew. Got a lot of comments about the interest in his interview. Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, coming on as they're getting closer to the MLS is Back tournament in Orlando. Got a lot of good information there. We'll talk about this rumor that's come out with Joel Campbell, who was at Arsenal, if you remember him, the Costa Rican international. Never really made it in the Premier League, but was loaned out like probably 7 times by Arsenal, but talented soccer player nonetheless. Rachel Daly of the Houston Dash will come on tonight as well to review their 3-3 draw. She had 2 goals in that game. Dash were up 2-1 in the 67th minute, couldn't see it out. I think what we got to be careful of here, and certainly we do want to have critical analysis, but you know, you do have to remember this is the first game against real live competition, and it's going to be the same thing for Major League Soccer teams, and we'll talk with Tab Ramos about that tonight. So it is important, though, that we talk some soccer, and I always wonder about that with the Dash and even with the Dynamo now. Need more talk about the tactics, the players, the things that occur on the field. And I know the teams haven't been on the field, but I wish we'd get more of that. I wish I'd get more calls on the two Houston professional teams. 713-780-3776. George Chiampas, he's a U.S. soccer medical doctor. They've got a play-on campaign going on. So I thought this would be good when he was presented to me to come on the show by U.S. Soccer. For everybody in the youth soccer community listening to this show about safe returns to play, and I know there's a lot of teams that have already returned to play and have done it safely, but it's probably a segment that you could just keep re-airing each and every week. A big happy birthday to Jim Walker. He turns 85, Houston soccer legend. He was a GM of the Houston Dynamos in the 80s, Chicago Sting in the North American Soccer League. And has contributed so much to the youth soccer community out there with Cyfair Dynamo. So a big happy birthday. Jim Walker, 85 years young. We can also talk about the Barcelona 2-2 draw today and Manchester United winners over Brighton. And can you say Bruno? So if you got any thoughts on today's games, you watch them. If you're a Barcelona fan, you're not feeling very good right now. Never thought they were going to win that game. They never gave me the feeling they were going to win that game, despite the fact that Lionel Messi joined the 700 club. 700 or more goals. That club includes Pelé, Romario, Gerd Müller, Cristiano Ronaldo, the great Hungarian Ferenc Puskás, and a guy you don't know, Josef Bican, an Austrian Czech who scored 700 plus, 395 of those between 1937 and 48 for Slavia Prague. And no, I was not living at that time. All right, 713-780-3776. Manchester United fan, what do you have to say here about Brighton and Hove Albion, the 3-0 victory in that one? You got to be feeling good about United on the rise here, especially if you can get the full buy-in from Paul Pogba in the future. The Bruno signing was really, I think, a catalyst for a lot of change. We can talk about that. We can talk about Barcelona and the problems there, both on and off the field tonight. We'd love to hear from that. And we did not get to celebrate the Liverpool title because I did not do shows last week. So I'm going to come clean here and tell you why I didn't. I woke up one night. I have 94-year-old parents. And I said to myself, the next time I go to New Jersey, I don't want it to be for bad news. 94-year-old. They're still living in their house. We have caretakers, two, you know, that switch on and off. So they're the only two people that go in the house. So I loaded the car up, threw my dog in the car, put a bag in there, took off. First day I got to Meridian, Mississippi. Absolutely lush green through Mississippi and Alabama. Incredible. Next day I drove Blue Ridge Mountains, got into Norfolk, stayed in the middle of the mountains. Not Norfolk. What's the city I stayed in? Can't remember. In the middle of the mountains, though. Roanoke. Sorry. Roanoke, beautiful. And then that was after going through Tennessee, which was also gorgeous, and over the Tennessee River. And then last leg was through Pennsylvania. You dip into West Virginia briefly. You dip into Maryland briefly, and then Pennsylvania. So a great drive, music, a lot of time to think, a lot of open space. And that was it. So that was my road trip. Three great days, turn around, go back. This time I go back through Nashville and the Natchez Trace Parkway, and I decide to pull off to the legendary Muscle Shoals recording studio where I got a private tour there, put something up on Instagram about it. It was amazing, the stories I was told, and that was just remarkable as a big music person. Stopped off at Elvis Presley's birthplace, got a traffic ticket there for going 70 and a 50, but at least it was in Tupelo where he was born. And then back on the Natchez Trace Parkway, which has so much history on it. It's 440 miles through a national forest, wild turkey, deer, not a lot of people on the road. And, of course, a trip comes with a little bit of risk. You're staying in hotels, and you got to hope that people have disinfected rooms. And when they tell you nobody's been in there for 3 days, you have to believe them. You have to trust. And then you have to be careful, stopping at truck stops and things to use a restroom. So anyway, all in all, it was a good trip. We're back. We've got three straight nights of radio tomorrow night in Austin, Texas, and then back here on Thursday night. And again, these shows are all presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, and then DaspitLawAustin.com. And a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for their presentation of this show each and every week. So we got a lot of good shows in store tonight here. Next segment we're going to have on from the Houston Liverpool supporters group. Ian Veery will be on, big Liverpool fan, to talk a little bit about Liverpool. We're going to have Victor Valencek come on from Houston Coolis to talk about Barcelona and get some thoughts from those two gentlemen briefly. And a lot to talk about here tonight in a very, very busy soccer time right now. I don't think you can find more soccer on television. A couple more notes here just to drop in if there aren't any callers. A couple of things. First of all, and I know this is a little bit delayed, but Jesse Marsh has done the double. And he's the first coach. First American coach to win a European title in Austria. And, of course, he had to do that after losing Erling Haaland as well. So that's an exciting piece of news. 500,000 people tuned in for the opener of the NWSL between the North Carolina Courage and the Portland Thorns. And as usual, North Carolina Courage once again getting the result over the Portland Thorns. But, you know, you have to look at these games and say, you know, wow, the desire of these players coming out now at this point in the NWSL Challenge Cup, it's going to happen in the MLS is back tournament as well. The absolute desire. Think about where these athletes are and the process they've had to go through from training individually at their homes to, you know, individual sessions at the field with all the protocol. Then you get into small groups, then you finally get into 11-a-side. You have to know they're chomping at the bit. And I think you saw through the application, the desire, how excited players are coming back to ply their trade. And frankly, I think one thing that happens in a situation and has to happen in a situation like this, just like me not being able to call games, is what I think is you sort of get reinvigorated and passionate about the career and what you do. I am dying to call a live soccer game. I don't care if I did it out of my bedroom closet right now. Which actually, I better be careful because that could possibly happen one day. But that point is, and again, I'm doing this radio show from my home. I think there can always be a renewed appreciation of your craft. And in this case, for players. So the Dash, Utah, 3-3 today. CBS All Access. Dash and Rain, July 4th. Then they'll play on the 8th again, and then July 12th against Washington. The Dynamo will start on July 13th. They're going to leave to head out to Orlando on Sunday. So we'll have Tab Ramos on in the first hour tonight here. So Manchester United today. Interesting one to talk about because everybody expected a full 3 points for United. They got the full 3 points. Bruno's volley was pretty much off the charts. Mason Greenwood at 18th, getting his 13th goal. Any of you that watched this game today, including members of the Houston Red Army here, would love your thoughts on the game. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So they got the early goal, which was great because it enabled them to control the tactics in this one. Not have to deal with a deep defending team. Bruno got a pair in this game to go along with Greenwood's. And Manchester United now is sniffing at a Champions League spot. They are even with Wolves on 52 points. We don't know what's going to happen with Manchester City and the potential ban. So fifth place all of a sudden looks very, very important. But United now on 52 points. It's a different team. Players like Daniel James, Scott McTominay, not getting starts for them now. They're the depth of the team. Matic is back. Young players coming to the forefront. Martial had a hat trick recently. And it revolves a lot around Paul Pogba. He's interested now. Could he stay? Could he be interested for a while? Because I don't think anybody's going to pick his contract up. And I think the world of transfers is going to change quite dramatically. Barcelona today. Pretty rough. This always was in the cards to being a tough game for them. Frankly, they could have lost this game despite all the possession. Yes, Lionel Messi hit for his 700th, but Real Madrid now is in first place. And everybody's going to be very pessimistic now about Barcelona winning the title. Unless there's somebody out there who wants to call in optimistically about Barcelona. Everybody has said Real Madrid had the better run-up with schedule of games here. Barcelona led twice today. They couldn't hold the league. Own goal from Diego Costa. Then Messi hit the penalty, put him up 2-1. That was the 700th of his career. It was a Panenka, which, want to know what a Panenka is. It's just a little dink. There was some audacity and audaciousness to his 700th goal, which I think was pretty awesome. Three out of the four goals scored from the penalty spot. Saúl Ñíguez, Saúl got two of them for Atletico Madrid. What was interesting was the first one, Diego Costa went up to take it. It was saved by Ter Stegen, but his foot was not on the line. VAR came into play, was retaken. They move Diego Costa out of there. They don't want the same guy who just got denied by Ter Stegen to take it. Saúl takes it, and he scores. So it ends 2-2. Barcelona within a point of Real Madrid, but Real Madrid plays on Thursday against Getafe. Getafe, which should be another 3 points. Ricky Puig, positive. That's the positive, I think, that comes out of the game today. Young talent, at a time where young talent in some cases is leaving Barcelona. Looked very good, quick, technical, typical Barcelona sort of La Masia type of player. But there have been players leaving La Masia. So Marc Jurado, speaking of Manchester United, he's going to Manchester United. He's left. He's spurned a contract offer from Barcelona. There's controversy around that because one of the former Barcelona directors, well, his son has handled this defender, Marc Jurado, as his representative. So this is a kid that's been at the club since he's 9 years of age, and he turns the club down to go to Manchester United now. That hurts. If you've ever been a youth coach and you've worked with a player a long time and you felt that he's progressed and you've had a healthy understanding of he's not quote-unquote your player, you're not quote-unquote the only person who developed him, because there's a lot of that kind of talk. But there is a prideful side of working with a young player and moving him through. That hurts for Barcelona. They also lost Eric Garcia, another guy named Adrian Bernabe, to Manchester City. There is an American there, though, Conrad De La Fuente, who just signed a new deal. He's now at Barcelona B. He's been with the under-19s. So he's progressed now to Barcelona B. He signed a new deal. But there's some strange things going on at Barcelona. It seems like they're trying to balance the balance sheet. 23-year-old that came in highly coveted, Artur, is now going to Juventus. Juventus, in turn, is sending Miralem Pjanic to Barcelona, who's in his 30s. 23-year-old for a 30-year-old. Book balancing, you would have to say. I don't think any question there. I don't see Barcelona winning the title. Madrid wins on Thursday. Real Madrid, it's a 6-point swing for them. And they would have to have a bit of a collapse if it weren't going to work out for them. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Liverpool celebration. You can make the phone call at 713-780-3776. By the way, Setien, under real pressure, played with a four-man midfield today. Did not bring on Ansu Fati and Antoine Griezmann. Griezmann didn't even come on until stoppage time. Now think about that. He's under real pressure. Lots of problems at Barcelona, it seems. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll take a break. We're going to talk more international soccer in the next segment here. We have Dash. We have Dynamo tonight. We've got great guests. We've got it all. We'll take a break. We got more to come here. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
I'm Carly Lloyd, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
Carly injured, not playing in the NWSL tournament. As I welcome you back here, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Finn Lizzie and Phil Lynott. But John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com or DaspitLawAustin.com. You know, one thing I failed to say in the conversation around Barcelona, Antoine Griezmann against his former team doesn't come on. He's not put on by Setien until stoppage time. Now, there's always this old prevailing thought that a player that's left the former team is going to want to produce against them. That almost had to be pretty humbling to be brought on in stoppage time. Ansu Fati also came on very, very late. The other thing with Barcelona that I saw in this game, Luis Suarez just looked cumbersome. Every time the ball got to him, things would break down. He couldn't keep the play moving, coming back to pick up the ball in midfield, you know, with that great hold-up play. We know what a great player he is, but tough. Ricky Puig, big night in a Barca shirt for him. Young kid, part of the future, I would imagine. But a lot of problems there. We'll talk a bit more about that. Let's go right now to a good friend, though. Ian Veery joins us now, and he's part of the Liverpool supporters group that hangs out over at Hugh O'Connor's. Ian, how are you?
Good, Glenn. How are you?
Yeah, good. So let's just first of all talk about the relief of finally winning this title.
Oh, my goodness. 30 long years of hurt over.
Yeah. I mean,
I was a young man the last time they won the title.
Yeah, so 30 years, they're champions, they're the World Club champions, they're the current holders of the European Cup Champions League. This is pretty remarkable stuff. Now, we've got, obviously, people that are going to come out and say, is this the best ever Premier League champion, Liverpool? What would you say to that?
Well, they may be, if we get to the end of the season with some of the projected stats, I think. I mean, there's always going to be an argument for Arsenal winning it as undefeated, the Invincibles, you know. And, of course, Liverpool, there was a lot of talk and a lot of pressure on them until Watford came and they went to Watford and lost that game. But, it's been a project, I think. Since FSG took over, they've had a clear project and goal in mind, and that they've put the pieces together with Jurgen, and some of the players were there but not really performing under Rodgers. But you know, I mean, like Firmino, I mean, he wouldn't even play him, and now he's like probably the first player on the team sheet. So the development that the team has had under Klopp has just been phenomenal, and to see Jurgen like crying, tears in his eyes, because the emotion of it all when they interviewed him, like right after the Man City Chelsea game on Thursday, was just awesome to see.
We're talking to Ian Veery, huge Liverpool supporter, involved in our soccer community here in Houston. There is no question, pretty remarkable. I know a lot of people that watch Liverpool simply for Klopp because they just enjoy Klopp, male or female. They love his style. They love his magnetism. There's a lot of things that have gone on there. When he signed and he makes these critical signings of a goalkeeper in Alisson and then gets Virgil van Dijk, I mean, at that point, you had to say, wow, now this is turning into something that really can catapult them back into the upper echelon of the Premier League.
Yeah, definitely. I think most of it was there. But definitely, big Virgil made a massive difference. But I have to agree, slightly controversially, with Gary Neville here, because he said I don't think Virgil van Dijk's been the biggest difference. I think it's Alisson. And I have to agree with that. Some of the stops he's made and the saves he's made in critical situations have just been, well, absolutely world class. So I think the combination of the two, but I think Alisson was probably the last piece of the puzzle, to be honest.
Well, they had so many goalkeeping issues for many years, but let's not. You know, look. You know, who's to argue with Gary Neville, right? I mean, I think Jurgen Klopp came out and said Gary Neville has an opinion on everything, but
he did.
Yeah. So I would just say this: you also needed a domineering center back. I don't think one without the other was going to work. So I would say for me, the combination of the two things: he's a leader, he's an intimidator in his own. Very, very calm way. He has the perfect demeanor. I think if you're sitting in a locker room and you're looking across from Virgil van Dijk and you're looking across at Alisson, you know, let's face it, you're feeling pretty confident. And yes, you know, one end of the field goalkeeping can be a mask for deficiency, but, you know, I think that's a very subjective thing to look at. There were other subtle things. How about Jordan Henderson, Ian?
Well, when we've spoken before, I think it's been the biggest transformation and probably Liverpool's most essential player this year, I have to say. I mean, as the captain, he has just transformed his game. I mean, Jurgen's transformed his game. And he is, I mean, I think really Liverpool are kind of blessed to have Henderson and Van Dijk in the same team because they both have that same demeanor and character and like push the team forward and drag them forward when, you know, the chips are down, as it were, you know, which in the last couple of years hasn't been that often. But 7 games to go, fastest team to ever win the Premier League, projected record points total, you know, it could be an amazing, magical season for the Reds. So we'll see what happens in the last few games because, of course, it's very different the way the Premier League's playing right now as well.
Yeah, it's too bad it came in this kind of delayed season. 18 consecutive wins from October through February 29th, and they won every league match at home this season. It's just pretty remarkable. 44 matches without a defeat, which stretched back to last season. I mean, these are incredible things. And the other thing you have to also give a lot of credit to, because I think there was a lot of hesitation and concern around American ownership with John Henry, because, you know, a lot of people in England obviously don't think, and in some ways they're right, that some of these owners don't know the history. But it seems like John Henry, the Fenway Sports Group, they became pretty good at learning their history and kind of getting an understanding of what goes on with a historic football club, which is very different than a baseball team in the U.S.
Well, that was it. Gillette and Hicks were like just, I mean, they came in and said all the right things, but obviously just wanted to asset strip and sell off. And, you know, it took sort of almost a rebellion to try and force them out. And when FSG, Henry and Tom Werner came in, it was sort of a breath of fresh air. And it's also, you know, I've seen what they've done with the Boston Red Sox as well. They didn't, like, build new stadiums. They invested in the stadium, which is exactly what they're doing at Anfield. They didn't go out and spend a massive amount of money. They sort of developed and that, and then were World Series champions. And so, you know, it's almost like a parallel to what they're doing now, or what they've done now, I should say, with Liverpool. You know, it really is an exciting time to be a Liverpool fan. And I think you're right. I mean, Jurgen himself has brought more fans to Liverpool just through being Jurgen. You know, when his first press conference, I am the normal one. And he absolutely is. He's a very good character. He just gets everybody sort of on the same page with his passion and his enthusiasm. And I think that's what's really pulled the whole team together.
Ian, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Say hello to everybody over at Hugh O'Connor's, including Peter. You guys are having a great time with this title. It was probably a little bit worrying because they thought the season might be voided or decided by points per game, whatever. It's restarted. Liverpool are out and out the champions. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Absolutely, Glenn. Always good to speak to you. Take care. Hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
Will do, Ian. Thank you very much. That's Ian Veery, Houston-Liverpool supporters group. By the way, Jurgen Klopp joins Bob Paisley. These are legendary names. Kenny Dalglish and Bill Shankly as managers who've won a league title. So there you go. Good for Liverpool fans. A lot of enjoyment there. 713-780-3776. We go to the phone lines again. Victor Valencek, one of the top men at Houston Coolis, joins us now. That's the Barcelona supporters group in Houston. Victor, thank you very much for coming on the show today. Tell me, what is going on with Barcelona?
What's not going on with Barcelona, Glenn?
drama.
I wish I could tell you it was one thing. Yeah, there's a lot of drama. There's drama from the board and from the recent transfers with Arthur and Pjanic making the flip between clubs from a financial and purely non-football related transfer to Setien, who didn't end up being the coach everybody thought he'd be. And ultimately with the choices and decisions that he's made over the last few matches. And we're in a tough pickle right now.
Victor Valencek, Houston Coolis, the great supporters group in Houston. We got so many good supporters groups here, and I know they are around the country as well. All right, so what was a bit stunning to me today was not bringing on Antoine Griezmann against his old team until stoppage time. That was almost like embarrassing for Griezmann. And the old adage is always, you know, a former player wants to produce against his former team. What did you think about that? And Ansu Fati also coming on very late on a night where they needed to win a game.
There's something going on with, number one, from a Griezmann perspective, the supporters across the globe, everybody has lots of questions about that decision and, you know, how he fits into the Barcelona locker room. How does he fit in? We know how he fits in as a world-class player. There's no question about that. But how does he fit into the locker room, and how does he fit in with the coach and to getting minutes? I mean, just clearly is not when he was being played, he's not played in the right position. When he is being played, no one's passing him the ball, which is like you're the odd kid out on the playground, which is just ridiculous to me. And then ultimately you see times like this where it's just a clear slap in the face, like, you know, hey, you obviously don't need us. But here we got Setien again, who just continues to make bad judgment. I mean, he makes bad calls on his player selections. You know, we've got Ricky. The one big shining light that came out of the last three games is Ricky Puig. Ricky Puig. Yeah. They gave him three matches ago. Now, mind you, this is after the tie against Sevilla, which pretty much set things in motion for losing our spot at the top of the table. He comes in, he gets like 44 minutes in that game against Bilbao. He gets then 85 minutes. He literally is the shining star. And today he looked amazing to see him out there. He ran the entire 90. And so you've got Ricky Puig out there. And I just don't understand how Setien doesn't see that with Ansu Fati and why he wasn't getting the minutes early on. Again, you look back to that Sevilla match, was the pinnacle match, the toughest one of the entire rest of this calendar year, and he made three subs. Ansu, no. Ricky, no. And again, it just, to me, there's just so many questions.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a multitude of things, but definitely Setien is going to be just getting absolutely grilled, which he is getting grilled right now. I see also something else. I see at 33 years of age, and Lionel Messi scores his 700th tonight, I see Lionel Messi and the type of team that he's on now. With all these divisions and maybe the supporting cast, it doesn't seem the best kind of support cast to get the best out of a player who's in his golden years now. And maybe he's being asked to do too much, and he's coming too deep sometimes to get the ball. And, you know, he's still brilliant. He's still unreal. He scored a 700th. But my point is it should be a little bit easier for him. I never thought they were going to win this game today, even at 2-1.
You know, that's a good question. I mean, again, it's hard. We all know the brilliance of Messi. The 700 number speaks volumes today. And the tough part is, you know, is who's, you know, who, how do, where's this control? Where's this team alignment? Like you talk about Messi coming back, always retreating too far, playing too far into the middle. And again, even that right side of the pitch, I mean, our opponents know the right side of the pitch is always open because we don't have true wingers on our team. So that's the real problem, is we don't have those players who can run at and attack and go down to the byline. Ansu Fati's that player on the left. But again, there's a problem because he's not getting the minutes we need. But when he goes out there, he puts on, he's brilliant. He's pulling players his way. And then he actually opens the space up for Messi to kind of do his brilliance. And we saw that in the last, when he was out there. So again, just really confusing why we're not seeing more of the things that are those moments of success and trying to replicate that.
Victor, thank you very much. We appreciate your opinions tonight on the show. That's Victor Valencek of Houston Coolis in Houston, the supporters group for Barcelona. Onwards and upwards, Victor. You guys have had your taste of a lot of great things, so you know, I'm not hurting too bad for you.
Hey, we're going to keep fighting, and you know what? Hey, always a pleasure, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Victor. And by the way, the title's not over. So, but we did say Sevilla and Atletico Madrid were going to be kind of the games to keep an eye on. This is a great song, Hot Chocolate. Everyone's a winner. We're all winners out there. Coming up, another winner. Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo, is going to join me on the show tonight, talking everything Dynamo ahead of the MLS's back tournament. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com and also Daspit Law. Austin.com. We thank John and his firm. They're getting soccer on the air tonight from the home studio. I think this is like show number 16. I have not been back over to our studios in the Galleria for a long time. I did go down to the BBVA Stadium this week. First time in a couple of months. That was great. Taking a break. Coming back, Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, just a reminder, a big happy birthday to Jim Walker, 85 years old, general manager of the Chicago Sting in the NASL, obviously has done so much in our Houston soccer community, was the general manager of the Houston Dynamos in the 80s, and also has contributed heavily in the youth soccer community. So a big thank you to Jim Walker. Show, as always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Right now, we're joined by Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos. Tab, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for having me on.
And by the way, I'm going to remind myself to hit the record button this time.
Going we back to our last one as practice.
Yeah. So I have to tell the listeners this. In my ultimate brilliance, I was doing a Zoom interview with Tab. It was a great interview. He was touching base on everything. And I looked down and I realized after I thanked him and said goodbye, I had not hit the record button. So that's full disclosure there. So this time, since we got you live, we're not going to mess up. So I guess the first thing I'm going to ask you is just right now, the taxing nature of the protocol, how taxing is that on you, on the players, or is it something you guys have really adjusted to at this point?
No, I think, you know, it's been taxing on everybody, you know, like, not just the players and our staff and, you know, and the help staff. It's been taxing on every person, you know, so I think we feel to some extent fortunate that, you know, at this point we're back to work, and that we can go in every day and do what we love to do. So yeah, it's not easy. It's not the same as it always was. but we're thankful that we have the opportunity to do it.
And then you as a coach, I mean, what have you learned during this time period? Have you developed and maybe sharpened a different skill set based on the conditions and the context of what's going on?
I think we all have. I think we've all learned a lot. In particular for me, you know, this is a way that I had been a little bit used to working at U.S. Soccer, because obviously we work remotely a lot, you know, for coaches' meetings sometimes, for our more important U.S. Soccer meetings. We're not in Chicago all the time, so we sort of got, you know, used to working remotely. It was a little adjustment to start working with all the players at once, you know, to have a roster with so many players and to have them on, obviously, on Microsoft Teams or on Zoom, and in particular to deliver message, you know, tactical message, player movements, that type of thing. That was a little bit difficult. But I think, you know, if we look at the positive of that, I've gotten to know the players a lot better, and I've talked about this in the past. I've gotten to know the people that they are, and I think that's really helpful for moving forward, especially for a new coach.
Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach, joining us here. Sunday they will head out to Orlando. Private jet is what I'm being told. A lot of protocols to get in there, lots of testing, a lot of social distancing, strict testing guidelines, I'm assuming. It must have felt great, though, to get back to being able to work with the team normally, you know, 11 aside and things like that.
Yeah, I think the players, you know, the players welcomed the competition. You know, they had an opportunity for a long period of time, about 4 or 5 weeks, in which they only had a quarter of a field, and they couldn't pass the ball to each other. That was hard. They did most of the work was physical, and then them with just one ball, and us trying to create exercises so that they could do some finishing or some passing back and forth with a little wall or something like that. I think all these athletes got here because they're extremely competitive, and taking that competition away, I'm sure has been difficult on them. And so they, you know, now that we've gotten the opportunity to do that and be on the field every day, you can see the smiles on their faces. And you know, when they leave exhausted every day, I think they're happy that they're able to compete and to play and do what they always love to do.
So you leave on Sunday. You'll have 8 days to get acclimated down in Orlando between your opener on Monday the 13th against LAFC. What do you envision those 8 days being like?
Well, first, you know, when we land, we have to be tested right away. You know, we're tested here every other day. So we're sort of used to that, the protocol that we're going to have there. But when we get there, we're tested right away. Then we have to remain in our rooms for the next almost 24 hours till all the results come back. So we'll be flying there on Sunday, get tested when we land. And the following 24 hours, we wait for the test results, and we are scheduled to practice at 7 p.m. on Monday night, hopefully getting all the results back and everything being negative as we planned. We'll be having our first training session on Monday at 7 p.m.
Tab, I do know that, you know, you can put a 30-page protocol list together like the Bundesliga did, present it to a government, give it the go. But at the end of the day, players and everybody involved has to follow these protocols. How much of that sort of messaging have you gotten from Major League Soccer?
Well, it's a really strong message. You know, we all have to protect each other. You know, our team, we're trying to be in our own bubble every day, and this is why we get tested. And we have to recognize that anything we do outside of the facility, anything we do with our families, anywhere our children go, anywhere that anyone they're in contact with, that could potentially put our whole group in jeopardy. So that's something. It doesn't mean that no one can go through their lives. Of course, they can and they should. But I think everyone has to be really careful and be as safe as possible, because obviously we're all responsible, not just for ourselves and our family, but for the other players and for their families. And so we make sure that we drive that message across, and we feel that we have a good group of people who really care about each other.
By the way, how's your family doing? Because, you know, they're my understanding is I think they're still in New Jersey, correct? And how tough has this been on you mentally, missing your family? I mean, I'm sitting here thinking this has got to be very tough on you personally.
It's been it has not been easy, that's for sure. You know, I mean, I haven't seen my family now in 3.5 months. You know, they left as soon as things started to get bad here. I sent them back to New Jersey, and that was right the day after we were supposed to play Seattle at home. So that was March 8th. So that's how long it's been since I've seen my family. And then you've seen, obviously, since you're originally from that area, you've seen sort of the difference of what New York and New Jersey have been and what they were like 2 months ago. And then they've been shut down the whole time, just beginning to reopen. And we've been at the other extreme where everything has sort of been open on and off. And now we're in a worse situation. So now even if I wanted to take a quick trip home of, you know, flying there for one day and coming back, I can't do it because anyone coming from Texas going into New Jersey has to be, secluded for 14 days, you know. So it's difficult. It's difficult because I know I can't do it, and I know I'm going away now for another at least 4 or 5 weeks. So it's going to be a long time before I see my family again.
Any of the players express real concern about playing? Like to you personally?
No, not like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think everyone to a certain extent is concerned. You know, this is not an easy situation. But I think we all know that we're managing through it. We're very fortunate to be in the situation we're in and to be able to play and be in the tournament. Of course, there's a lot of questions that remain to be answered. But those questions, we probably don't know them yet because we'll have those questions when we get there. I mean, we've, you know, like you said before, you know, the 30-page protocol that the Bundesliga put together to send to their government, I feel like we've gone through that 1,000 times here, you know, just to have a protocol for us. And I can't even tell you how hard our staff has worked, not coaching staff, but medical staff, support staff, all the rest of the staff that works at the stadium to put things together so that we can be at the facility every day. It's really been amazing. And so I think we're conscious of that effort that everybody's made to have us, you know, be able to put cleats on every day and be on the grass. So we're really appreciative of that.
Todd Ramos joining me here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Grateful to get his time. This Sunday, the Dynamo will head down to the Major League Soccer's back tournament in Orlando, Florida. We're looking forward to getting live competition. And I know Tab and his staff and players certainly are probably chomping at the bit to play against somebody different at this point. I just want to take you into what is a very hot topic with Dynamo fans, and that's Albert Elis. And I know there's been an offer tabled to him, a very, very good offer. How much desire do you have to keep him here? And, you know, coming into this team and knowing that he's talked about going to Europe, how much do you, you know, in essence, maybe try to sell him to stay?
Well, look, I mean, Albert is a good player. He's a player that many teams would like to have, and this is why there's interest in Albert, and this is why sometimes, you know, with good players, you get into situations that eventually you have to resolve. You know, the situation with him now is there may be interest from other places. There may not be. I really don't know. I know that we'd like to have him here, but this is a situation that will likely get prolonged, and hopefully the only thing I worry about is that Albert is ready to go, a week and a half, 2 weeks from now when it's time for us to play LAFC, and that he's ready to go and contribute.
And he's been a professional in training. I mean, we've known him to have a tremendous work ethic, right?
Yeah, I think all the players are, you know, at this club, I've been saying it from the beginning, they're hard workers. They come in every day, and they're happy to do what they do. And, you know, Albert has been doing a good job, as have been all the other players.
Todd Ramos joining us, Houston Dynamo coach. All right, everybody was excited when you came because we have this unlimited potential in Houston with youth players that's never come to fruition. It seems now with the work of Paul Holliker, yourself having such a tremendous youth background, signing a Nico Lemoine, Juan Castillo, Marcelo Palomino. I assume this is a big part of the future, is tapping into Houston potential. Can you tell us a little bit about those three players and how you see them?
Sure. I mean, let me start with Marcelo first. So Marcelo obviously is a player that I've known for the last couple of years a little bit more personally because I had him with the youth national teams. So I know what he can give. I sort of can see the potential that he has to be a big player in MLS down the road. And I think he's a player that can contribute immediately with our team. And I'm hoping that he's a big part of what we have between now and the end of the year. So I was totally comfortable with bringing Marcelo on board. I know that he was, you know, sort of shopping himself, you know, in Europe a little bit, and it took a little bit of convincing. But I think Marcelo is happy to be home and be representing his club. And I'm happy that I was able to sort of be in the middle of pushing to get him here. And so that's a player that I think the Dynamo will have for many years. And then Nico Lemoine. So if we go sort of by age, Nico is 20 now. He's a player that we had in preseason. Very good 1v1 player, which, as you know, there's not many of those, in particular American players and players who come from academies that have this type of talent. And he's very good playing wide positions. He can play wide right or wide left. He's very good 1v1. He can cross the ball with both right and left really well. And so he's a dangerous player. Now, obviously, you know, he's a young player, and so we need to give him minutes for him to get the experience to be able to help the team. But I have no question that, you know, a year from now, and I think he can contribute this year, but I have no question that a year from now he should be a player that's making a big difference on the team. So I was just really happy to get him signed. In preseason, he was with us, but he got injured some of the time, so we were only able to see him about half the time. So it wasn't perfect, but now I'm happy that we have him on board. He's fully healthy and fully ready to go out to this tournament. So I'm happy about that one. And then Juan Castillo, obviously a 15-year-old, you know, we brought him to our preseason. And what I really like about Juan, besides all the qualities that pretty much everyone knows about, and maybe not everyone listening, but everyone involved in soccer throughout the country, has likely already heard by now, but, you know, about the skill set that he has and the vision that he has in the middle of the field and the great work rate that he has. But what I like the most is the mentality that he has. He's not afraid of anything. And for me, that's key. You know, he's a winner. He's not afraid. He, you know, you put him in a first team training session and you would never know that you have a 15-year-old on the field. And so I'm really looking for Juan coming into next season to doing a full preseason with us and to be playing for a position on the team.
Tab, when you look at Juan Castillo and Marcelo Palomino and you project out obviously a little bit more with Juan Castillo, do you see how they fit as a midfield player? Do you see them as a two-way midfielder potentially or playmaker or, you know, what type of midfielder might you be inclined to think of right now?
Well, I mean, I like to pick players that have a high work rate and players that can play both ways. And you know, this is the way the game is played nowadays. You can't really afford to have only one-way players. Everybody has to attack and everybody has to defend. And that, so if, you know, if we're signing midfielders, at least while I'm here, I can't speak for 4 or 5 years down the road because I really don't know what's going to happen. But these are players that physically are built to deal with a two-way game. And that's what we're looking for, and players who have the right attitude about it. And I think both of these guys are definitely winners in that respect and players that I think, you know, any coach would be able to use. But in particular, you know, if we look at the player profiles that we have at this point from our first team all through our academy, you know, our midfield players, they all have to be two-way players. They have to be able to do both. And I think both of these guys can.
Tremendous answer to end on, Tab. Listen, continued success with the preparation. Best of luck when you leave on Sunday. And thank you, as always, for being so gracious with your time and coming on and talking the game for not only the show, but also for all the fans and fans of the Dynamo listening in.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Take care of yourself, and best of luck to your family up in New Jersey, and best of luck to you in Orlando. All right. That was Tab Ramos. So can't you hear me knocking? If we thought Joel Campbell was knocking, he's not, because it looks like he's going to stay at Leon. I don't know how this all got started today. I did speak with the Dynamo. They have been tracking him for a number of years, and I assume the Dynamo are all over a lot of the players that have CONCACAF ties, as we know. Excited about Nico Lemoine, Juan Castilla, Marcelo Palomino. Excited about Tab Ramos and his affinity for youth. I think it's important when a coach believes in youth, and that permeates through an academy, down to the academy director, Paul Holliker, right on down to the grassroots level. This can make a big, big difference. Stones went to Muscle Shoals. In fact, this album, Sticky Fingers. They did Wild Horses there, Brown Sugar, and You Got to Move, the Fred McDowell blues song. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm not going to throw you anymore with my musical knowledge. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.